Type Radio presents Sand Design Discussions.
Hello, you're listening to Type Radio. My name is Noortje van Ekelen.
And my name is Simona Kitsurovska.
We are doing a discussion with the following students.
My name is Janneke de Roy.
My name is Samuel.
My name is Yuri Veerman.
My name is Donald Beekman.
Michelle Champagne.
Guido.
We read the text Internet of Things by Rob van Kranenburg.
This is a short introduction from Rob van Kranenburg himself. Cities across the world are about to enter the next phase of their development. A near invisible network of RFID is being deployed on almost every type of consumer item. These tiny traceable chips, which can be scanned wirelessly, are being produced in their billions and are capable of being connected to the internet in an instant. Some are already calling this controversial network the Internet of Things, describing it as either the ultimate convenience in supply chain management or the ultimate tool in our future surveillance.
Our discussion is about the authenticity of the experience.
We're particularly interested in this future scenario of what day-to-day life in the neighborhood would look like in the life of a family. How technology affects us as people and what are the consequences of it for us as designers.
Well, I thought the article was quite optimistic, and I wouldn't think so optimistic of all these or about all these changes. Like for instance the sharing the fridge or sharing your tools, because with the RFID you see that everyone bought the same tools, but only so many percent are using it, and then you decide to share it. I think the RFID makes it easier to look into the statistics of how many tools everyone has in the neighborhood and how many tools are being used and how much you can share. But well, yeah, maybe that's the interesting question. Where does it start? Does it start with wanting to share something, or does it start with a technology that makes it easier, that maybe makes it easier also for people to want to share it? And I have my doubts about that. Because I think, first of all, you have to be a social being wanting to share your fridge and your tools. And then it's like, hey, it's also easy to share. So I embrace the RFID. But I, for instance, don't feel like sharing my fridge.
Of course I would share my fridge. It's interesting to have the opportunity to have other ingredients in your fridge. And learn more about what else there is than what you're used to.
If you're straight to you then, what social changes do you experience through technology at this moment? How does it feel, all the...
Well, when it comes to networking sites, of course, I mean, this has really changed. I think, for instance, if you take Facebook, I've been Facebooking for like 2 years, and it's really strange that 2 years ago it was quite normal not to have it. I knew a lot of people that didn't have it, and now it's quite unnormal not to have it. And you have to think of new rules for yourself on how to deal with this new medium. How often do I want to check it? How important are all these status updates?
Where are you left out of? What do you miss when you don't check it?
Well, I mean, I can see now that there are a lot of people that organize an event and they only notify people through Facebook. You're out.
But do you like it on that way, or is it?
I like the fact that now I have an account that's linked to my website, so if I have an update on my website, I just put it on Facebook, and it's really easy to show people, hey, I have new work. It's the same, I think, with the RFID, for instance. If the RFID tells you so much about so many things, there might be a point where the RFID tells you that your apple has turned bad, or you can't eat it anymore, and you don't even trust your own eyes to see that it's rotten. You're so dependent on these digital signals, which are basically a one or a zero, a yes or a no.
Yeah. Well, substitution is the key word, I think. And Facebook is not. It's beginning to substitute like real friendships. Yeah. And you don't need to be in physical contact anymore.
Yeah.
And if that's, I don't have a value idea of that, a notion of value of that, but it's just, that's what's happening.
But can we imagine somehow, if this is like, this is the end of the scenario, we're going to be like slaves of Facebook, and we're going to be like slaves of this kind of communication, and we're going to lose touch with everyone around us, and we're going to sit in our little cubicles behind their laptops because that's all there is? Or, you know,
that's what they thought of books.
Yeah. That's what you just said.
You know, like, no, but it's an old adage, you guys, yeah, of people saying, oh, books are making people antisocial. Family and society is falling apart. The printing press is the worst possible invention or piece of technology we've ever come up with.
The article, the Internet of Things, it's a really like, it's built on assumption in a way. Yeah. So we cannot possibly know what we're going to happen.
But the funny thing for me was that this was sketched as a really positive scenario, like people making use of all these this RFID technology and like benefiting from it like a zillion times a day, because every object in their life tells them something, and this is supposed to be a positive scenario. This would make me crazy. Like, yeah, it was written in a really positive way, like, hey, look what it can do for us. But if this was the future, then I wouldn't want to be part of this.
What I also see as a danger of this whole RFID system is that it takes a lot of things out of our hands,
makes it automate functions.
And I do believe that a human being needs to have these Zen moments of just like doing this practical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's also
sort
what
of
I
like.
Feel.
For instance, in your iPhone, you get this. Somebody writes like, "Okay, Thursday, 2:00," and you just press one button, and then it's in your iCal, and you get a notification an hour before it starts.
Yeah, if you don't like social networks, like my boyfriend. Then you don't have a Facebook account. If you don't like how smartphones take over your life, then you have an analog phone. I mean,
I don't use a smartphone because I don't like to have the possibility to email and Facebook all the time while being outside. But right now, this is not really a problem. I just make this choice, and that's okay. But I'm sure that there's a time where almost everyone has a smartphone, and I'm gonna get a call from my client who's gonna ask me, can you email it right now? And I will be like, no, because I can't email because I'm not at home. And this will be strange. The same thing as if you would say that you don't have an email address at all right now. Yeah. This is really strange. This is a problem. And I'm sure that later on this can be a problem also. And then suddenly you're left out.
I think it's hard to think in a fashion trying to decide if technology is either good or bad, either evil or promising for a, you know, new future. The real question I think we should debate is, what are we doing in technology, and what are we planning to do with it? Mm-hmm. or else what is the owners of technology doing with it, and what they are doing for, and who they are doing for, more than discuss if a new improvement in technology, a new improvement in the internet, or surveillance cameras, satellite cameras. I mean, of course, that all can be a way of taking out our privacy, and in a way being a surveillance system for a dictatorship. Mm-hmm. Or it could also be a tool for scientists to determine if the ice caps are melting and like try to revert a process, a destruction process, into a good thing for the planet and for mankind. So I think that's instead of turning our eyes towards the technology itself, I think we should try to look at the owners or the proprietors of technology and what they are doing with it and what we want them to do with it.
Yeah. I find myself thinking and reading the text and thinking about it is that it really comes down to your belief in humanity,
yeah.
Your belief in human values, if you believe that people are good or people are bad. I keep getting back to that. It's like, if you believe that people do good, then it's a blessing, this RFID stuff. I mean, it's really, it takes jobs out of your head that you want to do. It makes connecting easier. It also... It equals local problems and global problems. That sort of, it's the same thing. If like we have a problem or like the world has a problem, it's the same of the same value. And that's also, can also be a very good thing, but it can also be a bad thing in the hands of the wrong people.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But then again, are we talking about people or about companies and owners of products? This discussion reminds me of a text by Rem Koolhaas. And he talks about a device that was installed in shopping carts in the market. Well, I think he develops this idea of all the functions and activities in a city scale being reduced to shopping. But in this specific text, he talks about these devices that they have installed in a shopping cart. In some way, it's close to what the OV chip card does, but instead of mapping like your way up around the country or around the city, it maps your way around the supermarket, and then in the end, it compares like all the products that you've picked up from the shelves, all the path you've ran through to get all your goods, and the things that you've checked out. And then you have a comparison between what you bought and the actual path that you went through in the supermarket. So you could think, wow, this is genius. So a bunch of engineers can get together and decide a quicker way for me to go around the supermarket, because I always buy bread and milk, and I don't need to go all the way through the clothing or the vegetables, or I just buy two things always. So, but then again, you could think, oh, the people are good, or the people are bad, or the people are evil. And they, and I believe in mankind. I believe in these values, and I really think, being naive, I really think that this whole data is going to be used for my good. But instead, we are not talking about people. We are talking about the supermarket. We are talking about huge corporations. They have no feelings. They have no subjectiveness. They are companies, and they obviously want to make profits.
I think what's interesting now to discuss about is all these things we are talking about, what's happening for us as designers, and how do you see your role as designer, but also would you allow anyone to share and edit and use your work to make your work better? Or
because we're talking about this democracy of this access of sort of sharing, being reachable, being reached, you know, and then there's always this fear of your privacy and everyone intruding and everything being out there in the open. But what happens when you start seeing it as sharing?
Well, I mean, of course, that also depends in what way the work is being used. I mean, we already have the Creative Commons
attribution system.
Yeah, which means that people are allowed to use your work, and then there are certain amounts of or certain different ways that they can use it. For instance, in a non-commercial way, they can change it. They have to.
Credits.
Yeah, they have to add the credits and stuff like that. And a while ago, I made a little clip, and I want to as much people to see it. And so for this thing, it was great that there's internet, and everyone was able to copy it. Yeah. So I was really happy, and it was copied with credits, and yay, great, so good. But of course, internet makes it really easy to copy something, not mention credits. This also is a difficult story where there are a lot of scenarios thinkable.
And if you put your work
On Facebook, it could show up on a Virgin Mobile billboard without you knowing, because you automatically give them usage rights to whatever you upload to the site. A friend of mine, this is news. Yeah, but this is the implication. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to give you a tutorial on how to take it off either, whatever, but I mean, no, but whenever you upload content online on someone else's platform, in any case, you definitely have to be aware of what their rights are on your work. Because there's the idea that someone could, yeah, like, I don't know, Vodafone could have a buy from Facebook rights to images that you uploaded on your fan page. And they don't have to tell you either. And I have friends who were on the billboards and they didn't know because...
Really?
The friend took a picture of them and tagged them in Facebook and this image was sold to Virgin and it was like up on a billboard.
That's quite evil.
So, I mean, there's like the personal thing, which we can talk about feelings and stuff, but I'm not really into that. But like, if you talk about just the copyright issues with your work and who owns it and who has rights to it, yep. Any social network you put your work up on, you have to find out what those rights are.
Yeah. But this is where you determine, at least this is what I do. I read those things. There are a lot of discussions every single time Facebook would change their privacy settings. And eventually you decide, okay, you know, Facebook is doing this, obvious, and they're saying this. All you gotta do is read.
It is.
Facebook is doing this with my data, then I'm gonna be careful with what I post. I don't want my work to just appear all over the place. I have a website for it, so I don't want people through Facebook to find my book, my work. Or I don't want my... I usually if I upload pictures, I either show them only to my friends or I keep them hidden. You know, so it's sort of, you always have your own power to sort of determine how far you open, only if you know the rules of the game. Yeah. So it's always good to sort of know where you're getting yourself into and not just sort of naively, oh great, Facebook, but to also sort of...
But that comes with maturity. Maybe with young designers it's not so clear, but...
No, but I mean
Flickr has the same thing. You can attribute different kinds of rights to each image that you upload.
No, but I mean...
Any platform is like that.
We're already pretty conscious of what's going on, and we're debating it right now, so we're looking into it a little bit, and I didn't even know about this Virgin thing, and if I upload it on Facebook then
any creative content like that you just put up anywhere should be clear. Like, even when I sent an artwork file to a young woman in Italy who was exhibiting my work, I mean, that was a conversation we had, you know.
Yeah, but
what
I mean,
rights do you want on my work? Do you want to publish it in a catalog? Is it going on a website? I just want to know to make sure the files are, you know. Anyway, it's just.
No, but can you imagine how little people do know? If we that are already a little conscious of it, I mean, we don't even know the exact rules of if I upload it on Facebook, who is allowed to use it. I mean, can you imagine how little people do know? And so how
the
many
creatives should, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, let's not be naive. I mean, there's always a counterpart. You know? So, I mean, there's always two sides of it. There's like the user side. I'm sharing my pictures and everything, and there's the company side.
But that's what I'm saying. This is a negotiation that goes on between.
Yeah, I mean, the most you get from them, the most they get from you. They're gonna get from you.
Yeah.
So if you.
But with Facebook, you have no choice. With Flickr, for example, you can attribute different rights.
Yeah.
Well, you still but have a choice of how much you get up there. It's just that no one reads, and then you sort of, if you don't know the rules of the game, you do end up being violated in the end. But
no.
Eventually it was...
If you didn't read that agreement and you pressed accept, that's your responsibility.
Exactly. But
okay.
if you didn't do that and then eventually you realize, then
well,
it's sort
then
of...
Well, then you're a fool.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
Yeah, it's not everyone is some victim.
But
here.
It doesn't
it's
really
like
matter about like the agreement. There is no other agreement possible.
Yeah,
I mean, there is
you
either
agree
that
or don't.
Their agreement and you are in or out.
Yes.
So there's no I'd like to change the second paragraph so I could get it. I mean you're either in or out. So
basically
maybe it's not even worth worth reading it.
With putting
but basically,
there.
They
want to be in Facebook. You gotta agree.
They create this network that everyone is on and everyone wants to use. So this means that as soon as everyone's on it, they have the power to create agreements that people might not like. But hey, if you don't like it, you can't use it. So you basically have to like it.
Yeah, of course.
You can use Facebook. You just don't have to put your artwork as a photo on it. You can put links to external sites. That doesn't give them the right.
Well, but
you're not completely excluded. You have to be smart with what you do with your work. That's all.
Yeah, but definitely you're gonna get the full experience the more you get things into their system.
I mean,
it's made
for sharing
your own work.
That's what I'm saying. It depends on how much you want to get out of that experience. If you want to get the full experience, you're gonna have to give it all. You know, you're gonna have to, you know, in a way, give some of your privacy away.
For me personally, it depends on how the use, and if that's commercial use.
Yep.
If anybody would takes on a design that I've made and remixed it and used it and sort of just for the sake of investigating it, or but if like a commercial a company sort of uses it and makes money out of it without having me share that money. A possible scenario could be that designers are not necessary anymore because everybody will be a designer. It's RFID, it's very possible that all your tastes and your preferences will be locked in some. And then
that's what they thought with the introduction of literacy in public schools in the mid 1800s, mm-hmm. that authorship would go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is a writer, literature is going down the drain.
Well, down
these
the
are
drain
old
and going
arguments,
to hell
right?
are sort of.
Well,
I mean, this I don't would apply that to this discussion, but it could very well possible be that designers are not designing things anymore, but more like designing machines that design things. That's going to be the shift of like we're.
It's engineering.
Yeah, it's more engineering, but also more like interface design than design of object or
more
communication.
More design experience, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's
you
not
set
really
a certain set of parameters with the RFID chip. It becomes more and more possible because all these parameters are known and are stored somewhere. So you can make a made to measure to every individual. You can have a design solution.
It has to be generative and it's data based and it's nature's changing. But it's nothing we can't engage with. I mean,
no, of course not, of course. But
people I know
we
are like
to think about
self-teaching themselves to deal with all
mm-hmm.
of that, right?
Type Radio presents Sandberg Design Discussions.